Hey, Murder Town listeners.
Can we call them Murder Townies?
Fine, Murder Townies.
Yes.
We have had a lot of listener demand for us to release our full interviews. So today we've got the extended interview with Chattapicnic Mayor Debbie Ruth Larson. We'll be releasing these from time to time, so keep your ear to the ground and your nose in the wind.
And Murder Townies, we've had a lot of listeners contacting us with information about our investigation.
So we've gone to the rigorous and painstaking effort of setting up a free tip line that you can call and leave us information, theories, or distracting non sequiturs about the murder of Catskill Bones McGillivray.
Or any of the other murders in Chattapicnic.
Or praise of our reporting skills.
Or how to get in touch with Audie Cornish.
Or your grandma's favorite vegan keto macrobiotic electrolyte balanced recipe.
Leave us a tip and you could hear your very own voice on our very own show.
You can email us or send a voice memo to tips@murdertownpodcast.com. You can tweet at us @murdertownpod. You can use the contact form on our website, murdertownpodcast.com. Or call our free tip line at 731-4MURDER. That's 731-4MURDER.
That's 731-4MURDER.
That's 731-4MURDER.
731-4MURDER.
Yes, this is the current mayor of Chattapicnic, Wisconsin. Can you remind us of your name again? Sorry.
Oh, no, I thought you would have done your research, but it's Debbie Ruth Larson. Okay. It's my married name. My maiden name is also Larson, but...
I see. Wow.
Oh, I see. I see. Just for posterity's sake, we did do our research.
Well, he didn't know my name, so...
Okay. Well,
it was more sort of like a radio effect that we like to have people...
Oh, my God. I feel so...
No, it's okay. So it's okay. No, I forget your name, so...
Okay. I rarely write down stuff, so...
Oh, that's interesting as a mayor.
I'm sorry, what?
That's interesting that as a mayor...
I know. I would say... I won in a landslide because people forgot it was election day.
Oh.
You know why?
Why?
They didn't write it down.
That's Mayor Larson at work,
Mayor
huh?
Larson. Yeah. Let's just get some sound levels real quick.
Yeah, sure. If you can just give us a level on your microphone so we can...
I don't know. A level like how loud do I go? I go really loud. Sometimes I go low like when I'm trying to lull... Like a constituent.
Okay.
Do you have to lull a lot of constituents?
Yeah.
Could you show us what that might sound like?
Ooh.
Oh, it's so... I hope this isn't presumptuous. The sound is very haunting.
Haunting. I thought it was more sexual, but...
Oh.
I don't think they're mutually exclusive.
No, of course not.
If you are laying down what I'm giving to you. I don't think that's the same.
I'm often scared of how turned on I get. So.
Oh, my God, me too.
Yeah.
You know who isn't scared of how turned on? My husband.
Yeah. He likes it.
That's the old other Larson.
Yeah. he's laying down what you give him.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So you've been mayor of Chattapicnic for the past 8 years.
That's correct, yeah.
Wow.
Yeah, it's been a great run. I see many more years to come. I feel like the Chattapicnic's like daily, you know, the first daily. I wouldn't say the more corrupt daily because they're both really corrupt. Mm-hmm. But I think I'm like the first daily.
Are you corrupt?
No, absolutely not. Uh-huh. I calls them like I sees them. I tells them like I mean them, and I love them and I leave them.
That's beautiful. Wow, it sounds like a song almost.
I did do a short county fair circuit when I was 17.
Oh.
Yeah, so by singing.
Oh.
I sang.
You sang.
Well, I sang.
Did you have a backup band or were you singing?
Yeah, whoever would let me on stage with them was my backing band.
So you just sort of joined whatever band was already up there?
I'm a joiner, not a leader. Oops.
Oh, wow. I won't tell your constituents.
Yeah.
That's incredible. So let's get some background on Debbie Ruth Larson. Tell us a bit about where you're from, what your childhood was like.
Sure. I was born and bred here in Chattapicnic. I'm the youngest of seven,
wow,
all girls. I grew up, obviously, Lutheran, and I keep that going. The Lutheran faith is obviously very important to me, and the town, and our history, and the lakes. And I went to high school in town, and I married in town. And I've only actually been as far south as Rockford, Illinois, which was scary because there's a penitentiary there. And I said, and I turned back, and that's when I decided to run for office. And I ran for office starting 20 years ago. It took me 12 years to get to my throne, and I'm not going to give it up for anything.
Oh, yeah.
I love this town.
That's great. That's very inspiring.
Wow, what an incredible story.
Thanks.
And we did drive through Rockford on the way
home. Oh, God.
Mm-hmm.
And you lock the doors?
Oh.
Yes.
Yes.
But for the opposite reason, to keep ourselves in, because I got too excited.
Because we wanted to just sort of give ourselves to some of the tragic stories in that prison.
Right. I am worried about the mass incarceration of America, but I think that's for a different podcast.
Oh, we will call you for that podcast.
Yeah, we have a lot of thoughts. We're working on a new project. It's just called White Knight.
And, White Knight.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And it's about how the prison industrial complex is ruining.
It's actually about how we're going to save everybody.
Yeah.
Oh, you guys are the White Knights.
Yeah.
Oh, thank God. Okay.
Yeah.
Although, White Knights of the... Oh, God. Okay. Makes me nervous. Continue.
So you've been mayor here for 8 years.
8 years, yeah.
Was that a dream of yours as a child to be the mayor?
Well, yeah. Well, not as a child. Honestly, like growing up as the youngest of seven girls in a Lutheran family and this beautiful town, I kind of just wanted to, you know, stay burrowed and not care about anything else except for myself and my family. But you know, with all the stuff that's been going on in our town, I was like, I've got to help it. And I think we're getting a bum rap.
Mm-hmm.
We're getting a bum rap. And I was like, I don't want that bum rap, you know?
Mm-hmm.
So I decided to do something about it.
Yeah.
Let's talk a bit about some of the things going on in the town. So we are obviously here investigating a cold case from 1976.
Which one?
The one of the mayor, Catskill Bones McGillivray.
Oh, that one. Uh-huh. Yeah, that's a cold case.
Are there others?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, from the same year?
Yeah, but I mean, it wasn't as important, so. So you guys came here for that. That's neat. Our town's so much bigger than murder. But anyways, do you remember those dummies book? You guys probably don't, but like, I think in the 80s, there were all these books like, you know, AOL for dummies and I don't know, basketball for dummies and walking down the street for dummies. And then there was this investing for dummies, and I got really into it. So I started investing in the stock market, and then I got all this money, and I started like creating businesses around town.
Oh, that's fascinating.
That's exciting,
so you're also a business person.
Yeah.
Wow.
So I have a bagel shop / a taxidermist thing.
Oh, wow.
Because my third oldest sister, Gwen, is a taxidermist, and she loves bagels. I said, have you met her yet?
We haven't. I think we saw that shop, though. We were driving past. It's called Fox and Locks.
It is, yeah.
Yeah, we were going to stop in there, but I asked if they had a vegan option, and they said no.
They probably didn't even know what that meant, because I certainly don't, and I'm a mayor, so. Yeah, so this town is great.
That's great. We don't certainly want to come into your town and be presumptuous at all. We have certainly noticed, I guess we would call it a pattern of... just mysterious disappearances,
brutal murders.
Yeah.
Is that something that you feel is specific to the culture of Chattapicnic?
Absolutely not. Have you ever read a newspaper? There's murder happening everywhere, but we just have a cute town, so people like it here. That's all.
They just like it here. And
because
so
it's cute. And that's why people are like, oh, look at those murders. But there's murder happening everywhere.
Sure. It just seems like it's a lot more here.
Well, you know, more is a relative term, so.
I guess the murder rate seems about the same as where we're from, Chicago.
Oh, yeah. Chicago.
But it's just that
we have like 4 or 5 million people.
About 2.7 million people.
So wait, you said the murder rate or murder per capita? That's murder per capita or even
then
the total?
It's much
just
different.
The total number of murders.
Oh, well, I don't know. I just think that we have a big city mentality in our town, and we have, we have a lot to compete with, and I think that just shows in all of our numbers. Like, if you look, we have maybe, like, you know, as many murders total as Chicago. But you know where we also, we have more 2-in-1 businesses in Chicago. So,
So
Chi-Town, you know. You take those two corrupt Mayor Daley's and that Rahm Emanuel that I used to have faith in, and boy, that went away fast. And you say, hey, where are your 2-in-1s?
That's a good point.
That's a great point. That's something we hadn't thought about.
Yeah.
It seems like, are you a big fan of mayors?
I'm a big fan of mayoral things.
I see.
Like, when I was inducted into the mayorhood, I said, listen, we're going to bring this town, you know, like that Rihanna said, I'm going to run this town, run this town. And then I said, bitch, wear my ceremonial scissors. You know what I mean? I just wanted to get going right away. You know, for cutting red ribbons.
Great.
And I said, you know what I'm going to invest in?
What?
A company that rents out Klieg lights and bowling accoutrement. Do you know what Klieg lights are?
I don't.
If you've ever seen the opening of a Domino's, and they have those lights that wing around that you can see for, you know, across farms and farms. Those are called Klieg lights.
I love those.
So, I mean, I got down to business, and I think I've done a really good job, not to toot my own horn. Boop, boop. I feel good about myself.
That's great.
So you're an entrepreneur and a mayor.
Yeah, and a mayor.
Mm-hmm. Entrepreneur.
Oh, my gosh. That's a 2-in-1.
Yeah.
Oh, look what you did.
No,
oh, I like it. Oh. Do you know the first – remember when Jennifer Lopez and Ben Affleck started dating? Mm-hmm. And that was, like, the first celebrity nickname, Bennifer? Mm-hmm. That person that came up with it is actually from this town. It was the first 2-in-1 name came from this town. I mean, we don't quit.
That is incredible.
That's phenomenal.
That is.
Wow.
Are they still living here, or did they get flown to Hollywood?
Oh, no, they're still living here. They got actually, she and I went to high school together. We were rivals at first, but then became good friends. And she said, girl, I'm mad at you for marrying Chuck Larson, because how can you make a celebrity sex name out of Larson and Larson? And I said, oh, come on. And she said, come on.
That's a great story. That's wild.
That's amazing. Did you, let's talk a little bit about your husband. He's also named Larson.
Yeah.
Not to be any relation.
No, absolutely not. He was my gym teacher. So, but we didn't start dating until my graduation party, my high school graduation party. So it was all on the up and up.
Okay. And you didn't have any classes after that?
After graduation? No. Oh, God. I mean, I got my diploma. What do you mean?
Yeah, I guess when I graduated, we had, like, there was a really nice, like, 3-day weekend where people had their grad parties, and then there was, like,
another
couple
class?
Days of classes and finals.
What horrible place
did
you go to school?
Wait, so you had a graduation ceremony, and then you had more classes?
Yeah.
Wow.
It was...
Gary went to Montessori.
I was going to say.
Yeah, I went to a Montessori school, and they would sort of really, like, just tweak the side of my neck if I didn't pronounce German words correctly.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. You don't have that up here. That's more of a Nordic pinching.
Sure.
But, yeah, so we did. And, you know, there wasn't that much scandal because... Yeah, and then, but yeah, we could Chuck Larson, man. Yeah, he's amazing. He supports me 1,000%. Which is 10 times normal, the normal.
Mm-hmm.
It's like 100% times 10, which is 1,000. Mm-hmm. And he's great. And, you know, some people come to me and they say, Mayor, you know, there was that murder that happened in 1994 to, you know, Melissa McCurtney. And I said, yeah, Melissa McCurtney got murdered, but to be fair, she was a bitch. So, you know, not all the murders are people that were sad to see gone. So I think you got to, you know, I don't know if you guys look much younger than me, but there was a formative sitcom when I was growing up. It was like, you take the good, you take the bad, you take it all, and there you have the facts of life.
We weren't allowed to have TVs when I grew up.
Oh, my mm-hmm. gosh. So you grew up in the Montessori system, too.
I did.
Yeah. So anyways, you take the good, you take the bad. But Melissa McCurtney could. She made a move on Chuck, okay? So I was like.
Did you murder her?
No, of course not. I would never murder anybody. Uh-huh. But I'm not going to cry at everybody who dies. I mean, that's crazy.
Sure.
Would you cry if somebody died? That you know.
Yes.
Well, I mean, but everybody, you would cry at every death? That's ridiculous.
I guess.
Yeah. I mean, every death is tragic in its own way, right?
Okay. Well, I think that's an overstatement.
I like to cry at everybody's death mm-hmm. because I get comforted by people.
Yeah. It is a good attention thing.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, like I said, you know, I call them as I see them. I tell them like I like them. Oh, shoot. I forgot my mantra already.
No, that's great.
That's great.
I really think that you have a solid outlook on life.
Mm.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Hello.
Yeah. Mm. I'm just having a little egg here. Is that all right?
Yeah.
This is your office. You can have whatever you want. I know.
I don't know if I'm chowing down. I take that fairly offensive.
Sure.
You see a big woman eating, and you immensely. Say that they're chowing down?
No, I...
That seems a little sizeist.
Yep,
wow, Gary.
Sure,
and misogynistic, but who am I to say that? Mayor Larson, that's who.
You're right.
I noticed that you have a desk drawer full of eggs.
I do. And actually, they're from Easter of 3 years ago.
Mm.
And funnily enough, they're organic, and they don't last. But mm-hmm. I just put them there to remind myself... Don't get too comfy, Deb. Come on, DR. Get to work.
Debbie Ruth. Yeah. Any relation to Babe Ruth?
No, but I tell you, one time my dad was taking me down to the bank to open up my first checking account, and he got up from the truck, and I said, Dad, I think you got some oil on your pants. And he turned, he looked, and he goes, I just think that's my baby Ruth. His baby Ruth had melted onto his pants. He was sitting on a baby Ruth.
Oh,
true story. I'm not related, but something with a baby Babe Ruth happened to my dad, so you could say there's something in the family.
Sure.
That's very close to related.
Yeah, that's very similar.
Are your folks still around? Are they still with us?
They are.
Do you see them often?
I see them. They can't sense that I'm around.
Oh.
Because they won't let me in the house. I mean, they're very healthy, but they won't let me in the house. But I kind of peek through, and I do see them. So they're
sure.
There. Oh, did you have a falling out?
Well, I think that they were like. Ooh, Debbie Ruth. You know, when I was running for the Congress of the town, basically the mayorship, mm-hmm. I call it the Congress. And, so I think that, you know, they're kind of stuck in their ways, but I'm going to get them. But they're doing great. They're doing really great.
Yeah.
It's funny, Chuck is still their personal fitness coach, so Chuck sees them all the time, but...
Oh, Chuck is a. Did he transition fully?
No, he's still. He's still a teacher, and now he's taken up. You know, taking care of the elderly. So.
Oh, that's very nice.
Yeah, but I don't want to call him a saint, but I will.
Oh, you guys seem very in love.
Oh, for sure. Did he tell you something different?
Oh no, we haven't spoken to him.
You guys, if you hear something different, you need to tell me, and I'm asking you as a friend. And I know we're not friends, but I'm asking you.
Right, we could be friends.
Sure, yeah, we can
point.
Absolutely.
Right. We would absolutely let you know.
Okay, thank you.
Do you have reason to believe that he might not?
I know, you know, I mean, come on, he was sexually seducing a senior in high school.
Sure.
We didn't do anything, but I felt it, if you know what I mean. So,
is there a fairly large age gap between the two of you?
Yeah, for sure.
About how many years would you say?
Well, I can give you we were born on the same day, 22 years apart.
Oh,
wow. So you were, say, 18, and he was, what is that, 40?
40, mm-hmm.
Wow.
He knew his way around.
Sure. At 40, you would have some time. Do you have children of your own?
We sure do.
How many?
Well, we have 4 biological children and then 3 Hmong children.
Hmong?
Yeah, from the Hmong community.
Whoa, what is that?
They're from Laos.
I knew that.
Oh, gosh.
I feel like a
dingus.
Who knew that?
Yeah. No, they're a big part of our community, and there were, you know, we were one of their sanctuary cities, so.
Oh.
That's very
But they're still my children. I mean, I just, like, I didn't know you're, like, children of your own. Well, yeah, we have 7, but 4 came out of, well, 3 came out of my loins, 1 came out of my tum-tum, and then 3 were adopted. It was weird. My C-section was my first baby, and then I had 3 vaginal births. That's usually the other way around. Isn't that funny?
I thought they wouldn't even let you do that.
Well, you know what? I don't know. They were like, oh, let's give it a try, and it worked. So.
And it worked. Yeah. It worked. You loosened up.
Yeah. That's how I assume that works, right? It's like a pair of jeans. You kind of work them in.
Yes. A woman's uterus is just like a pair of jeans.
Anyway, I noticed a lot of awards on your wall. That's pretty fantastic. Are those all your husband's track awards? Or?
I mean, there are a lot of my husband's for sure. There's the best best third mother we ever had for my Hmong kid, because the kids, they had been their siblings, and we were their third adoptive family, so we're their best third family. And then that's my mayoral sword, which I, you know, that's not a thing, but I've kind of made it a thing.
Sure.
We don't have cable, but I've heard a lot about Game of Thrones, so I like to keep up on, you know, what's happening.
Can we, and I don't want to, you know, put you on the spot too much, but I'm just, I guess, curious if, having not seen Game of Thrones, but interested in it, could you just sort of, like, walk us through what you think the plot is?
Oh, sure. Okay. So they're in a land, and there's there's royalty and a king and a queen, and there's a big throne made of something, and there are dragons and boobs and blood, and then there is a wedding, and the bride wanted a red theme. And the main people are called the Bannisters, and I think they were a woodworking family in the old days. And one guy's name is Tyrone, which makes me think, wow, we're gonna see that's pretty cool, Tyrone. I didn't see that coming in the old days, so I like that. And let's see. Oh, and I think, you know, there's some violence in there against women, but because it's on HBO, I guess it's done, you know, with artistic integrity. And, you know, and then there's, like, there's a winter that it came, and they know what was coming, and then a winter came, and then the winter left. So I think I have a pretty good hold on it.
That's pretty good.
Yeah, that sounds about right.
Yeah.
And how do you feel? I notice it seems like you really relate to the show.
Yeah.
How do you feel that relates to your own mayorship?
Let's see. I have banisters in my home. I have boobs. I had a wedding. Red was not our theme. It was lavender.
That sounds lovely. Mm-hmm.
It was lovely. The sword, I mean, that, like, now it's part, but that, like, I made that connection myself. And, you know, now that I'm mayor, I'm royalty. So I would say it's kind of it's like that unity thing. You know, in the, I'm going to go back again to the 60s, 70s, mm-hmm. 80s, when they were trying to show, like, oh, racial unity, and they'd have a black hand and a white hand shaking.
Sure.
And it was like, so I feel like, you know, it's like Game of Thrones and me. I think it's like the black and white hand. So I think it's the same thing. Unity.
Two mm-hmm. things that would normally not get along.
Well,
because of.
I mean, because of prejudice.
Because of prejudice.
Yeah. Well, they would be present. Yeah. I mean, like, you'd think that they wouldn't get along, but they do. And it's just shocking, and it's great, and it's going towards a better society. Mm-hmm. So basically, you know, and when I think, you know what I'm going to, when I get home, I'm making black and white cookies. That's it. I'll send you some. They're really good. Which motel are you staying at?
We're staying at the Best Western.
Best Western, the hotel and town council.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
I love that. Actually, we had a town council meeting there. I don't know if you guys were there 3 months ago. It got kind of hot and heavy.
We were not 3 weeks ago? 3 months ago?
3 months ago. Wow.
Yeah.
We were
yeah.
in Chicago. How did it get hot and heavy?
You know, somebody turned up the heat, and then a really fat man came in. So
they'd got hot and heavy.
Yeah, it was hot, and then a fat man came in, and then it was hot and heavy, and I don't know. It was interesting. And there was some judgment, and I just think, you know, people shouldn't judge people, you know, by their weight, and I think there was a lot of lessons there. And then we also learned what happens when you turn up the heat. So it was like, you know, it was a two-in-one again. Stop making people feel bad about their bodies, because if you make somebody feel bad about their bodies, you have some shitty thing about you. It just happens to be that you're fit. What are you hiding, you arrogant cuck? And so that's one thing. So there was learning about that. And then the heat, I mean, that was like, you know, is that physics? I don't know what it is. So, yeah, it was definitely hot and heavy.
Is heat physics? I don't know what that is.
Yeah,
is that?
It's all kind of in that umbrella.
Yeah.
Was there any, pointed critiques on some of the murders that had been happening in town, directed at yourself?
No, I don't know why they would be. They started before I was in power, and they remained the same. So I don't know why it would come at me.
Oh, well, as mayor, have you taken any measures to try to bring down the murder rate in Chattahoochee?
I am trying to make sure, like, I you have to prioritize when you're in charge, and you have to delegate. So when I came in again, my delegation was entrepreneurships and cutting red ribbons. That was my number one. Like, uh-huh. My 30th one down is, hey, Let's talk about these murders. I don't think we need to do anything about them. I mean, have you noticed that the world is dying? And if we have less people on it, you know, what's the harm?
Wow.
Wow, that's a very brutal nihilist.
I think those are pretty judgmental words that you're using.
They aren't necessarily negative. I just
brutal and nihilist.
Yeah,
all right.
That could be. I mean,
I might need some more eggs.
Oh, go ahead.
Oh, go for it.
No, I'm good. I don't want to chomp down in front.
No, go for it.
Go for it.
I don't know if you should eat those from your desk.
I shouldn't have said that.
That's true.
Those are pretty old.
Yeah, those are some old eggs.
Yeah.
That is.
They do smell.
There are some bad eggs.
Well, yeah, but like that's why when I came in, I know it doesn't totally work, but did you guys ever watch Quincy M.E.? Okay, no, you guys. So that was a show with Jack Klugman. He played a medical examiner, and he was my very first crush. Now, if you ever saw Felix and Oscar, was The Odd Couple, you wouldn't think Jack Klugman would be a young girl's first crush, but he was. And so he was a coroner. Anyway, so now, when you see, you know, there's a lot of stuff. Again, I don't have cable, but I've seen some, you know, TV. And now, when you go, if you see somebody go into a coroner's thing, they'll be like, hey, put this stuff under your nose. You won't smell it as much. And that's why I had you put it on today.
Yeah.
Although I know it doesn't do great job with the sulfuric smell, but it does help. I feel like I went off on a tange.
No. I thought, very, very relevant.
Oh, thank you.
Yeah, and I do appreciate the salve that you gave us.
It's mm-hmm. Yeah. And actually, when I go down by the lake, I often, you know, I'll take my dog, not a rescue dog, give me a break. I take my dog that I bought fair and square, and I'll take them down by the lake, and then I just put the salve up, because you know there's rotting corpses down there. And I say, I don't have the time, and I put them under Bucky's nose, too. And, man, we have a time. A good time. I mean, we have, I mean, obviously we had a time, but we have a great, we just cavort. And I take my purebred dog that costs more than, I'm embarrassed to say it, $2,000. And then we just walk around. And it's just fun. And they'll go, hey, mayor. And I'll say, hey, you know, and it's just a way for me to connect with my constituents.
Would you say your constituents who you find hanging out by a lake full of bodies are possibly, murderers?
No, I just think, you know, I mean, we're, I guess, look around. I didn't mean literally, Gary. Jesus. Mm-hmm. So, like, you look around.
Well, Shannon asked the question.
Okay. But don't look around.
Well, I guess as investigative journalists.
Well, I know, but there's nothing behind you, Gary.
Well,
anyway, so
I have to travel with him.
I know, gosh.
I'm always looking around. I check mirrors in the car all the time.
Yeah,
so.
Yep.
All right. Even when I'm driving.
Yeah.
Oh, come on.
I always drive.
Well, good. That's what I like to hear. Listen, I mean, anybody could be the murderer, or if there's more than one. Like, aren't you allowed to go down and enjoy bodies of water? Do you know that bodies of water cover, like, 25% of the earth?
Bodies of water.
I think it's closer to, like, 75%.
Oh, is that right?
Yeah, it's most of the earth.
Oh, sure it is, yeah. 75%. Yeah, right. It's like 25. I know it's 25%.
It's definitely closer to 75.
All right. I don't want to get in a fight about stuff you know nothing about, so I think we should just move on.
Shannon was making sort of a semantic connection between bodies of water and the word body.
Excuse me, a what connection?
Semantic.
Oh, thank God.
Oh, are you worried I said Semitic?
I was, and I was like, let's not go there, okay?
Yeah, we don't have to go there.
I mean, I don't think we should.
Nor do I.
No. It's okay.
Anyway, I was making a semantic connection between bodies of water and bodies in water, as you described.
Oh, that's a good one.
Would you say most of your lakes here? I know there's a lot of lakes around this town.
Yeah, we're not the land of lakes, but because Minnesota stole that from us.
Mm-hmm.
We are the original land of lakes, but, man, Minnesota always... I mean, they have Duluth. We got to give them something.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Sure.
So, we have a lot of bodies of water here. What was your question? What was your semantic question?
I was just thinking of, like, are most of your bodies of water filled with bodies, or is it just the one?
How would I know? What do you mean? Are you saying there's a body of water here that's filled with bodies that we haven't found yet?
You just spelled that out.
I don't think that... Is that true? Then why aren't you finding them?
Well, you just said that you were down by a lake that was filled with bodies.
I feel like I got caught in a lie. And actually, I think you also misheard me. They were buried in the ground by the lake. Global warming, am I right?
No.
You do bring up an interesting point, though.
Thank you.
With the world changing, you also mentioned, you know, overpopulation and things like that.
Do you guys know that Billy Joel song? Don't go changing.
That's a good song.
To try to please me. I just was thinking about that. Okay, so the world is changing. Sorry if I interrupted. I mean, I know I interrupted, but I thought
you're
it was
the mayor.
Good.
You can
thank
interrupt.
You. Mm-hmm. Thank you. World is changing.
Yes,
blah, blah, blah.
And you mentioned global warming being the cause
of... Am I right?
Bodies being buried instead of in the lake, I guess I thought I had a connection, and it's getting more vague and distant in my mind the more I think about it.
Because I'm,
I think you're great. You're clearly a great debater.
Oh my gosh, thank you so much. You know, when I was growing up, they would not let girls debate.
Oh God, patriarchy.
I mean, we could be in the MUN. But we couldn't debate about the price of our burger in the line, in the cafeteria.
Oh, you mean you could?
I mean, we could debate. Like, we could, you know, go to debate club and do MUN and stuff. But we couldn't. You know, they were like, only the guys in line can say, this is too much for a burger. But, like, if a girl said it, you got detention. So and that's actually the first time I ever met Chuck. He was the detention guy. So really, the lack of the women's rights to debate worked in my favor. Let's move on. That was actually a positive lack of rights.
I mean, I guess I was a little curious about the school cafeteria that was based on the barter system. Or
Yeah, isn't that crazy? I mean, and also, like, it was rare that they the boys would get, like, a lower thing, but they were at least allowed to, you know, debate it.
Sure.
They never won the debate, but they were actually allowed to say, hey, you know, they'd say hey a lot.
They'd say hey. Mm-hmm. So they were essentially the only ones allowed to haggle over.
Did you guys ever see 227 with Jack Kay?
I was not allowed to watch TV.
Oh, my gosh. Okay, so this is not, but it, when I was at hey, sometimes there's a hey, and then there was this character, Jack Kay, there was this other character named, and she'd go, me, which again, I went off on a tange, but it seemed relevant at the time, but I couldn't, that would not stand up in a court of law.
Sure. This is just a journalistic interview, so there's nothing legally binding.
No.
About what you say, so feel free to say whatever you like. And
I want to make it absolutely clear that you're not under, we're not investigating you.
You're not under oath,
dude. You know, I'm like Gary Hart. You guys probably don't. He was running for it. He goes, follow me. Yeah, he goes, yeah, I dare you to follow me. Now he got caught because he was fucking around on his wife. But I'm saying, follow me, man. I don't care if you invest. There's nothing to hide. There are no bones in my closet. And that is both literal and figurative. Okay, so come and investigate. I don't care. I have nothing to hide. Also, Gary Hart, do you know he was found with Donna on a thing called a boat called the Monkey Business? I mean, talk about double entendres.
It's sort of really on the nose and on brand for him.
Yeah. Gary Hart. I had hopes. His wife's name was Lee. And she was like the first Silda Spitzer.
Silda Spitzer.
Yeah. Remember Elliot Spitzer's wife? Oh, Silda. Oh,
right.
So, like, she was kind of the first one that we really found.
I see.
And then you really, well.
Yeah. So, I don't want to be a Lee.
Yeah.
A Lee Hart. So, that's why I said if you find out about Chuck, you got to let me know.
Yeah.
Yeah, it seems like you're pretty suspicious of what he
I'm suspicious of everything, you know, and that's how you stay in charge.
Sure, that makes sense.
That's something healthy.
Suspicious of everything besides the many murders.
Yeah, those. Yeah.
Oh, God. I don't understand. Like, you guys keep on coming back to this murder. And our town has so much more to offer. You know?
Yeah.
Like, there is a purebred dog breeder here.
Really?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's where I bought my dog. And it was well worth it. My kids didn't get to go to their first choice college, but I have, you know, Bucky and.
Mm-hmm.
Anyways.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, I do want to, just for the sake of our larger investigation, ask you if you remember anything about the 1976 bicentennial,
mm-hmm.
where Briggsville and Chattahoochee.
Oh my gosh, totally. First of all, we went balls deep in that celebration. That bicentennial, can I say balls deep?
Yeah.
That bicentennial celebration was so amazing. And let's see, I was 8 at the time, but I remember it like it was yesterday. You walk down Main Street, and to your left, there was a big candy cane. Now, candy, what's it called? Cotton candy person.
Mm-hmm.
And then to your right, they had a ball toss. And then to your left, there was a snow cone. And then to your right, after the ball toss, there was a shooting, you know, the alligator mouth. Now, you're going back, you'd think you'd find more snacks on the left, but no, they switched it up. You know why? Because we're a bicentennial motherfucker. We can do what we want. On the left, they had another game. It was said, guess Chubby's weight. And on the right, they had corn on a stick. And then on the left, you think now they were a pattern. We're going to do another food again. I mean, another game again. No, they did food. And that's where I had my very first piece of real Mexican food called a donut. But they had a Mexican name. I can't remember what it was called, but it was great. And that's when I started liking fried food. So then we had this great bicentennial thing. Again, I was the youngest of seven, very hardworking parents, so we each had 50 cents. And that day, it went a long way. I had the time of my life. I went home, and so I remember like it was yesterday.
Wow, that is a beautiful picture you just painted.
Oh, my God. I didn't even go down the whole Main Street because I don't know how long we have. But there were, like, games, and then there was, like, there was a doctor there that actually had to come over from La Crosse, and he put on casts on kids' arms just to see what it felt like, and then he would take them off, and it was so cool.
So you just put on, like, casts for fun?
Yeah, and then they would take it off. And then, oh, my God, you know what you wouldn't believe. So, like, to cleanse a palate before you went home, they had these lemons, and they'd stick a candy cane, like, not this curly kind, just with the, and then you'd suck a lemon with a candy cane, and it was just, like, something you've never had before.
Mm-hmm.
Uh-huh. Yeah. And then when we got home and we woke up, we found out the mayor got brutally murdered. But that's, you know, but that, you know, doesn't matter because it was just such a great celebration. And if my dad taught me anything is, you know, remember what you remember. And don't try too hard. And he probably had it coming.
Your dad taught you that the mayor probably had it coming.
Yeah.
Hmm. You know, and he taught you to not try too hard.
Yeah. I mean, Martin Luther didn't teach no fools. You know what I'm talking about?
I do. Oh, yeah.
Because
yeah.
You're
yeah.
Lutheran.
Yes.
Yeah. I'm just making connections all over the place.
Yeah, I don't know if that's a connection, so I made it very clear when I got here. But Gary, I just feel there's some tension between us, and I just hope
I'm
dissipate
sorry.
It.
Yeah,
no,
absolutely.
I think it's my fault. You know why? I didn't have my coffee today.
Oh, I see. Yeah.
I
see.
Had too much.
Oh, my gosh. Okay, we're meeting in the
Jack
middle.
Jack Spratt and his wife here.
Oh,
and
my gosh. Ooh, watch it, boy.
Oh, maybe we have to watch out for you.
I wouldn't mind it. Now, you know what? So we came together. It was like, you know what that is? The black hand and the white hand.
Except for in this case, it's two
white
hands.
It's what they call a simile.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
Is that a simile?
Either a simile or metaphor.
A metaphor.
Maybe
yeah.
I
think it was
allegory.
An allegory. Did you guys ever know that I met somebody named Allegoria? I just hated the name so much I punched her.
We did not know that.
Oh, okay. No. Well, I don't have any secrets.
Wow. That's
a bold statement.
Yeah, you punched her.
Yeah.
Do you have a lot of enemies? You mentioned no. Melissa.
Well, she's dead, so no, I don't have any enemies.
Oh, uh-huh.
Again, I did not have anything to do with her death. I just did not cry a fucking salty tear when she died. I don't think that's a crime. I don't think, you know, like, if you have a person evil in your midst, I don't think you should cry when they're gone. I think you should say, whew, never have to think about that whore again. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
it's mm-hmm. an interesting perspective.
I'm full of it.
Do you ever speak at any of the funerals of murdered victims here?
Well, you know, I don't go in there like, you know, f***ing Mayor Daley, either of them, who always try to capitalize. I go when I'm asked, which is every time. And, I give great eulogies.
Mm.
Sometimes, depending on how old they are, I'll find out their favorite kind of music.
Uh-huh.
And then, as you saw, I was, you know, I sang before, and I just do a little, you know, like there was a kid. Well, he's not a kid. He was like a 22-year-old guy, like young man. He was really into hip hop, and his name was John, and they called him John John. So I went in and I said, John John, see you later. And then I go a boom 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 ba boom boom boom, and then just started spitting rhymes. And man, there wasn't a dry eye in the house. So, yeah, I mean, like, I think it's very important to, like, personalize things. And, the next time a young kid that loves hip-hop dies, I'll tell you guys about it. You can come and see me spit some.
Oh, that would
spit
be.
Spit some rhymes.
Fantastic.
Yeah,
I love live shows.
Yeah. We love.
We love going to music shows.
Yeah.
Yeah, we go to all sorts of music shows. We're very supportive of
very
music
supportive
scene. Of the arts.
Of
yeah.
local music. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, you're looking at one of the, you know. Original artists.
Yeah.
In
hip hop?
Well, okay, thanks. I didn't want to say it myself, but yeah, definitely.
Wow.
Wow.
Okay, right in there. Well,
thank you so much for taking this time out of your busy schedule.
I'm so happy. I'm so happy to meet you guys. I can't wait to find out more about the town. And again, you know, get your little investigative fingers all up in my biz. I don't care. I have no monkey business to hide. And yeah, come on in.
For sure.
Yeah.
This has been fantastic speaking with you. Thank you so much for the generosity.
Anytime. And again, leave your numbers with my secretary, which I'm the secretary. And I'll just give you a quick buzz when if there's somebody who loves hip hop that gets killed. Cause,
okay.
Yeah. I don't want you guys to miss it.
Yeah, no, we
absolutely. We'll come back.
Yeah. Yep. All right.
For that.
Well, great. Thank you so much, Mayor Larson.
Thank you guys so much.
And
thank
we
you.
Just. Sort of to wrap everything up,
we wanted
to give you the opportunity to, let the airwaves know what's going on in your life, what you're excited about, if you have anything to plug
or
let us know about.
Actually, this would be really, really great. In the August of next year will be my parents' 80th anniversary. Now, I know that they won't be talking to me by then. So I'd like to encourage everybody to come together and create a human kind of totem pole of grace that explains who I am and why they should forgive me for what, whatever. And then, we display it at their 80th. And I think people owe it to me for what I've done to the town. And, I'm sick of looking at my parents through, basically they don't wash their windows. So it's really hard to see them. So we have over a year to get this together. And, I'm not vindictive like the two dailies were, but certainly, it would be nice if people could come and help me with that. So that's what's going on.
Yeah, that sounds like something that people ought to be able to help with.
Yeah, yeah, I don't think it's too much to ask. I mean,
sure.
Yeah.
Sure.
So thanks, guys.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Well, thank you so much.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Thanks for sitting down with us.
Thank you.
And we'll be in touch for the next, hip hop funeral.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah.
Yeah. You won't want to miss it.
We'll write down our phone numbers for you.
Yeah.
Great.
I have I have all these Adidas tracksuits, so I just go what the whim is. I just feel it. So
you just pull on a tracksuit and head to the funeral.
Yeah, but I it looks good.
That's really old school.
Yeah.
OG
baby. OG. I remember one of the originators of hip hop. He said it.
Yeah, he said it. He said it. Hey.
Yeah. Hey.
In the presence of greatness.
Yeah.
All right.
All right. Thank you so much.
Thank you. Thanks, Deb.